Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's about empowerment. You ready, Frank? magical engineer Frank. He's ready, and I am ready. And thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network and WWCR and other networks. We are going to be talking about the history of public health for just the first part of the show, and then we got other stuff, and we got our quack report. And I'm hoping everybody is, you know, safe and sound after Hurricane Ian. Ugh. I've been praying for the folks in Florida. Some of that devastation photos, I mean, wow. Lift them up in prayer. It's bad. I lived through Hugo, and that was bad back in the 90s. And we were in North Carolina, 5 hours from the beach. That was a huge hurricane, but it is devastating. So pray for those folks. Help them out if you can. And we had a little bit of tropical storm, Frank. We had some wind and rain on Friday, all day Friday into, well, it ended Saturday morning. So we got 6 inches. The ground is nice and soft for aerating. So we're okay, but thanks for asking. Well, before we get into the quack report, big salute, Semper Fi, our righteous men and women in uniform, lifting them all up in prayer. I'm seeking the Lord's face, and I'm minding the time, because Nick Rowe Short, today's devotional, puts us in James 3. It says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Isn't that refreshing? Oh, yeah. If you don't know the Lord, now's the time. His invitation to join him and live forever in the kingdom of God is got an expiration date, and it's coming up fast. So don't delay. Don't procrastinate. You know, seek the Lord's face. Make him Lord of your life. And be rich in the knowledge of his protection and peace. He'll be okay. It'll be okay. He'll be with you. No matter how bad it gets, he's right there with you. And you can rely on that. It gives you a lot of peace and security just on knowing he's with you. Always. So mind the time, micro short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Oh, okay. Thank you, Frank. First up is, hey, guess what, Frank? Most Americans don't plan to get the flu shot this season. Oh, what do you suppose that is? You know, because in a normal, before the COVID thing, in a normal flu season, about 79 to 80% of the American population would get the flu shot. Because, you know, we always, well, if those statistics were accurate, we're just going by what we're reporting on. But, you know, they're trying to shoot for that herd immunity of 90%, but they never seem to get quite there. So, but now, most Americans said, Only 49% of the United States adults said they plan to get the flu shot this year. That's a survey that was conducted by the National Foundation for Infectious Disease. Even one in five of those who are at the high risk of influenza-related complications, they say, aren't going to get the vaccine. Very interesting, don't you think? What do you say, Frank? Yeah, because there's immunity, and it's their fictional story. It's most highly guarded secret in medicine. I mean, you could have knocked me over with a feather when Dr. Anthony Norris told me that in the 90s. He used to be a chief virologist of the FDA. He was telling me, it's just not what you're told it is. So, and when you dig for it, when you really dig for that information, it's an eye-opener. It's like, no, what? They wouldn't lie to us, right? Yeah, they would. In a nutshell, Dr. Norris said that the vaccines infect you with disease and creates a lineage, a line of patients for the drug company and modern medicine. So it's a way to ensure cash flow. It's just another way of putting it. It's their business model. And people think it was the vaccines that get rid of childhood diseases. We're going to talk about that in the first part of the show. All right, last but not least in the quack report, British government is finding experiments that involve feeding African children insects. Interesting. The United Kingdom is funding some experiments to feed Africans some insects, school-age kids, with some sort of, you know, highly paid experiment. UK Research and Innovation which is a non-government body, is affiliated with the British Department for Business, Energy, and Industrial Strategies, is responsible for implementing two projects, one in Zimbabwe and one in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. The Zimbabwe project, they got $320,000 in grant money. And they want to know more about the potential of eating mopane worms as a food source. Well, why don't they just eat it and let us know? Why do they got to feed it to the kids? Why don't they just eat, munch down on that? Poor children between the ages of 7 and 11 in Gwanda and Zimbabwe, capital of Harare, will be fed a porridge of mixed with these worms in their schools, according to the research. High amounts of vitamins and minerals, apparently, that's what the worms have. Yeah. I'm sorry if anybody's eating. Don't mean to gross you out. Now, in the other experiment, $55,000 grant money, the Catholic Agency for Overseas Development is involved in allocating this project, and it's to seek and promote the production of insects for human food and use it in the manufacture and eating of animal feeds in the North Kivu and South Kivu provinces. So they're using caterpillars, migratory locusts, and black soldier flies, among other insects, being pushed as a human consumption food source. Going to start this March and end next December. I'm not a big fan of eating bugs. What are you saying, Frank? Were these children or parents notified? I have no idea if this was informed consent. Don't know. I'm just kind of grossed out by that. Hey, but you know what? I was approached by that guy, what's his name, Harrington. He used to be on the first few seasons of Shark Tank. He's kind of like a business investor kind of guy. Anyway, his people contacted me, and I don't plan on working with them. But they happened to mention in the course of our conversation that one person who was making, get this, dog treats from grasshopper powder in Canada, they were looking at maybe, you know, going into business with her. So they're making dog treats like that out of bugs. So even your dogs. Dogs are most supposed to eat meat. You know what I mean? So they're trying to fake meat, bug meat. I don't know. They're trying to get us off the moo cow, the chicken, the fish. They want us to eat other things. Other, I don't know, a green planet type of foods. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying the whole thinking. I'm not going to be buying any kind of milk bone with, you know, grasshoppers in it. I'm sorry. That's just me. But I just thought I'd bring it to your attention. But, you know, I've reported on that before, you know, where they were trying to, you know, over in European countries and in other parts of the world where, you know, bugs are kind of a delicacy, they were starting there with snacks, well-packaged, but they were just bugs, you know, as a snack product. What are you saying, Frank? Frank says, what? Cows cost money. Bugs are free. yeah. So you can see the financial incentive there. Yeah. Yeah. Well, not going to go there. Just not. I don't care if you dip it in honey. I'm just not. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Well, interesting times. Well, let's talk about the history of the public health here for just a momento, because we've been kind of, you know, conditioned. News reports on public health tend to, you know, paint this picture that our modern scientific medicine has been able to double our lifespan. Yeah. And the media is going to report that in the early 1900s, lifespan of the adult American was in maybe into their mid-50s. And then they said by 1945, it had climbed to their 60s and early 70s. And the honor for this feat of graciousness reportedly goes to modern science and the drug industry. Well, that's not entirely accurate. So according to the Public and Environmental Health Agency of San Juan Basin, over the last 200 years, the United States has had life expectancy at around 80 years of age. You know, that's putting you into the 1800s. So since the early 1800s, Americans have been living into their 80s just like today. Now, according to the report, there were several things that contributed to an increase in longevity from, you know, the 50s to the 80 years of age, and it wasn't the medical advancements. Okay? So, yes, if you look at, you know, Europe in the 1800s and then, you know, early America, it depended on where you were at and how people were living and how long they lived. If you had them all crowded into, you know, row houses and stuff, yeah, people are going to get sick and probably die younger. So basically, it wasn't the medical advancements, and to the contrary, it was the non-medical improvements that led to better control of disease. And this is the list that impacted our health. Okay. They said improved sanitation. We had better water, we had sewer systems, and we had clean water. Also, the invention of automobiles removed animal excrement out of the street, so you weren't stepping in that. Better agriculture, you know, food inspection and food delivery of foods, and then sanitation of garbage, you know, pickup and a refuge dump. So those were big, huge things. And then later, you know, we got refrigeration. And then we could have, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables all year long. So all these had an impact on longevity and health. And would you say, wasn't the average death age been going down for at least 20 years? Well, they have been saying that, you know, our longevity has crept up to, you know, 80, 85, in the last, you know, since like, 50, 60 years. So, and they want to tie it to, the vaccination thing. That's what they like to tie it to, because they eradicated disease, you see. And then the drug companies have given you all these drugs for heart disease and stuff like that. Now, of all of the things we just talked about as improvements, historians conclude that it was those improvements that alienated or got rid of the cause of disease and premature death. There's a lot of historians that agree on that. So a little later came better housing, less crowding. There was more education on nutrition and better air quality. Because, you know, if you were in smoky England, everybody had a chimney and you had a lot of carbon in the air. Now add to that, you know, they had developed child labor laws then and higher literacy rates. These all had a positive impact on overall health and longevity. So vaccines really didn't enter the picture. Now, they didn't get into wide distribution until after 1940 into the 1960 era. So here's a quote from the report. They said, this period is actually referred to as the, quote, first public health revolution. And it occurred before the medical interventions of antibiotics, advanced surgical techniques, and vaccines. End of quote. So what you saw was a big drop-off of childhood illnesses, tuberculosis, and all these other things, whooping cough and stuff. It wasn't the vaccines. It was all these improvements that came about. And let's just look at the cause of death 200 years ago for just a minute. So 200 years ago, a little sneeze or a cough kind of raised some eyebrows and concerns, because usually people were, you know, dying from respiratory illnesses back then. So you were kind of a leper, like you had the plague if you were coughing and sneezing all over the place. Respiratory disease was the number one killer in the 1800s, a.k.a. tuberculosis, killed 1 in 4 Americans. And in the 1800s, this disease was comparable to like an AIDS epidemic, okay? Now, tuberculosis was not deadly to those with healthy immune systems, which prevented the disease from developing and growing. So it was the malnourished that typically got. And I heard this a lot from country physicians, and I read some of their journals. They had these little journals that, you know, wind up in museums and stuff and whatever. But a lot of them had been scanned and up on the internet. And they said the same thing when they went, you know, door to door, house to house on house calls. It was usually the malnourished kids that often got these childhood diseases. It wasn't the healthy ones. Now, malaria was also another concern brought into the Americas in the 16th and 17th centuries. Parasites were also a concern, but it seemed to be kind of more severe in countries like Africa and Arabia. Plagues like smallpox and bubonic plague were another issue brought in by the boatloads with a lot of immigrants from Europe. And you want to also notice that the leading causes of death 200 years ago was either a virus, a bacteria, or a parasite infection. That's not the case today. Not really. I mean, aside from this, you know, manufactured virus that there's floating around, a.k.a. COVID. Let's look at the cause of death 200 years ago. It was, you know, your bacterial, virus, or parasite. But the cause of death today, the leading causes are pharmaceutical drugs. That's the leading cause of death on a death certificate. Then there's heart disease, cancer, and diabetes in that order. Yeah. So, deaths by virus or bacteria really don't hold a match to the death by the death statistics we're seeing by prescription drugs. They don't even compare to the deaths by war. Death by pharmaceuticals has created this catchphrase. It's called Pharmageddon, which should say it all. Therefore, we are living longer just to suffer longer. So in a 30-year period from 1976 to 2006, 62 million Americans died, and their death certificates called medications, listed medications as the cause. And that was covered by the Journal of General Internal Medicine in a 2010 article. And it seems to be the drug company's mission, though, to get as many people as possible on a prescription medication. Here's a quote that was in the Baltimore Sun. It said, 7 of the top 10 pharmaceutical drugs are used by 12th graders, seniors in high school. Why? Well, they got them on antipsychotic meds, and God knows what they got them on now, trying to change their identity, their I don't know, orientation and stuff. What did you say, Frank? Indoor plumbing, more available, or and decent food is what causes us to live longer. Now they are adulterating the food, water, and it's going down now. Yes, yeah, so Satan will do that. It'll attack anything that, you know, is good for us. Yeah. We're in his playing ground down here, you see. So it's a spiritual war. People don't recognize that all the time. So what's our modern path about? Well, the problem with the medical profession today is that they have made nearly everything under the sun a disease. A simple and temporary imbalance is now a disease needing allopathic treatment. An example is menopause, which is not life-threatening, but the intervention by medicine for this will increase the risk of disease and can affect a patient's longevity. You know, the drugs they had for that, you know what that did, gave them, you know, cervical cancer, breast cancer and stuff. So one reason we have so many deaths by modern medicine is because drugs are prescribed for so many symptoms and patients are taking more than one drug, which do not always interact well together. And a lot of prescription drugs are made from substances that classify them as a sedative, a tranquilizer, or a poison. Those are the three top categories drugs fall into. So in many cases, prescribed medications suppress breathing and deprive the body of oxygen. And people are either overdosing or poisoning themselves on their medications. Pain and antidepressant medicines are at the top of the death certificate heap. So any drug that has a heavy therapeutic use will increase the risk of death by doctor. Here is a quote from Jeffrey Coven. He's professor of medicine at West Virginia University School of Medicine in Morgantown. He says, many prescription drugs really are every bit as powerful, addictive, and dangerous as heroin. End of quote. Think about that. What are we doing? Here's a clue. Let's just take a little clue from the Bible. I love this. If we consider the Bible and we read that prior to the Great Flood, man ate no meat and he lived 800 years. After the Flood, man ate meat and his lifespan became 120 years. So science tells us our longevity is based on our telomeres, which are pieces of genetic code that make up the chain of DNA. And as we age, the telomeres shorten. The longer the telomere, the longer you live. So notice that when man ate plants, nuts, grains, and fruit, that he lived almost seven times longer than meat-eating men. So food will change your DNA in just 6 days, according to scientific research. That's a lot of power at our fingertips right there. Culinary herbs are used to preserve and enhance the taste of foods, and medicinal herbs are used to enhance and help our body function and our metabolism to function and protect us from disease. We got a lot of power with food, spices, and medicinal herbs right there. So how did we transfer this power? When did we transfer the power of health over to drug companies? When did we lose the knowledge of medicinal herbs for healing? Well, in our modern time, it was 1940. We just put away common sense and historical knowledge for modern science, trusting in it and trusting in its discoveries. So where that has led us is to drug dependency by the age of 50 and taking more than one prescription drug by the age of 65. Drug dependency does not cure you, but it does make you a hostage to the drug. And there are smarter, healthier, less expensive ways to deal with health issues. So I would call Apothecary Herbs, ask for their free product catalog, find out how powerful you can be with the original medicine, food, spices, and herbs. It matters what you put in the body. The Flood and Noah is the perfect example. So give them a call. Their number is toll-free at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 828-469-5972, or thepowerherbs.com if you want to check them out online, thepowerherbs.com. Get that free catalog and see what your herbal options are and be empowered. Oh, we're long in this segment, so we're going to take a break. Be right back with more.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, International 704-875-8010, or online at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Though I like it. All right. Oh, you were tapping your feet, Frank. I know. Frank's not a big disco guy. Okay. Well, we were born to be alive. That's for sure. You know, God's all about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, the opposition's not. All right. Let's talk about some chronic fatigue because I got some calls about that recently. I thought, well, we've talked about it before. Let's kind of just rehash a little bit about, maybe there's some new listeners out there doesn't know what the heck it is, or if you do have it, how can you resolve it? Basically, a new study appeared in the 2019 Journal of Georgetown University Medical Center. They reported on physicians and other healthcare professionals are not educated enough to treat patients suffering from chronic fatigue syndrome. Well, the findings suggested that a majority of the patients are not receiving proper care for their condition. And according to the National Academy of Medicine, their review, in the United States, there are as many as 2.5 million people that have chronic fatigue syndrome. That's too many. And the study results were published in the January 2019 Journal of Open Access Emergency Medicine. So a lot of people don't realize there's a simple fix for this. Oh, yeah. You have the power to do it, and you don't need a doctor. You don't need prescriptions. You don't need anything special. Uh-huh. We're going to get to that in a minute. So the study is showing how medicine is failing patients, especially that suffer from chronic fatigue issues. So all the specialties in medicine seem to fall short, pretty inadequate with care. That would include your allergists, your immunologists, your infectious disease specialists, your neurology, psychology, and nutritional experts. They don't know how to fix this. So one of the main findings they investigated is that the patients quit going to doctors because they perceive they don't know enough about their condition and they're not listening to them. And some patients reported they were mocked by their health professionals, criticized as it's all in your head. You're just inventing your condition, which is insulting. Here's a quote. This is James Bernack, MD, Georgetown University Medical Center. A high proportion of patients are basically told, it's all in your head. That's why they send them to the shrink. Now, some health experts chalk it up to misunderstanding on the part of the patient. Mm-hmm. That's what, you know, when people insult you flat out and then you push back and say, oh, no. Then they come back and say, oh, you must have misunderstood. Doesn't that really frost you, Frank? That frosts my boat. Oh. No, I didn't misunderstand at all. So, no misunderstanding. Patient knows, but most people know when they're being labeled as a mental case. That, you know, we get that part. And the study also highlighted that chronic fatigue patients were tired of being, here's the list, misdiagnosed, disrespected, mistreated with medications, ignored, and not taken seriously. I get tired of that too. You know? Time to see a new specialist, or maybe just, you know, figure out what you can do. Some statistics, according to the investigation on this study, most of the chronic fatigue patients are educated with a college degree, 70% of them. And most were female. They were seen by their primary care doctors, and over half of the chronic fatigue patients desperately were seeking treatment. They wound up in the emergency room department at hospitals, hoping there'd be an expert there that could diagnose them properly and help them. Unfortunately, 42% are dismissed by the hospital staff as psychosomatic. So when chronic fatigue patients are surveyed about their care at the hospital, they rank the staff as ignorant of chronic fatigue, scoring them 3 on a scale of 10. About 47% of the chronic fatigue patients avoid going to hospitals because they perceive the staff will do nothing for them and won't take them seriously. So University Hospital, Jefferson University Hospital in Philly, this is Dr. Christian Timball, who says there is a real need for physician education that will improve their efficiency in identifying and treating chronic fatigue syndrome and being able to distinguish its symptoms from other diseases. Helpful signs to guide physicians is that these patients are intolerant of exercise and alcohol consumption. And I'll tell you why in a minute. Not a big mystery. Modern medicine has logged in 900,000 articles on chronic fatigue syndrome over 64 years, and they failed to identify the cause and produce a cure. Some of the symptoms of chronic fatigue is malaise. You're just really tired. You feel yucky. You feel exhausted, right, all the time. You have cognitive dysfunction. You can't focus, focus attention. Blood pressure and your heart rate will change. Maybe a little dizzy, have muscle and joint pain, sore throat, enlarged lymph nodes, headaches, and when you come up from sleeping, you don't feel refreshed. So the medical treatment plan for this, patients often are referred to psychiatrists because doctors think it's all symptomatic. They may also be referred to physical therapists to help them with an exercise program, which not really what they need right now. Or they may be referred to a specialist in cognitive training. Yay. Other treatments would be to help reduce their symptoms. They'll put them on sleeping pills, tranquilizers, antidepressants, muscle relaxants, stimulants for fatigue, and pain medications. So, you know, put you to sleep with a tranquilizer, wake you up in the morning with a stimulant, give you some pain medicine so you don't notice you're still sick, right? And if you're still bummed out, here's an antidepressant. So what is chronic fatigue? Let's understand what it is. The old saying that unless you can identify it, you really can't correct it, remains true for a lot of particular conditions, and this is one of them. So if modern medicine has a label of chronic fatigue syndrome, but there is no consensus by medicine on what it is and how to correct the condition, there's going to be lots of confusion and no results. You're going to give patients, they're going to be frustrated, and they're going to quit coming to you. So, one of my herbal professors knew what chronic fatigue was and knew how to help people recover from it. Brilliant. So simple, too. So it usually stems from the patient having a repeat course or a long-term use of antibiotics that have removed the flora from the digestive tract, and the body can no longer assimilate and convert protein in food and convert it to an amino acid for fuel for the cells. Ergo, you're tired, fatigued. So you have 400 floras in the digestive tract, and these drugs can wipe all but the yeast out. Yeast is pretty hardy. And then you get this overgrown yeast problem in the digestive tract, and you can't digest proteins. It's vital that you have them. So you have no fuel to run your system. Now, often patients with chronic fatigue also will develop a sister condition called fibromyalgia. So if you don't correct the chronic fatigue, you're going to get fibromyalgia, which is really a soft tissue of the body gets inflamed, swollen, and painful. The healthcare system sees these patients. They're referred to physicians who are pain specialists or neurologists, and all they do is give them pain injections to give them some temporary relief. And these people come religiously because that's the only relief they're getting. I worked for a pain clinic once, neurology, and that's what they did all the time. So you got 400 flora. This is a problem. No flora, no digestion, no protein, no fuel for the cells. How are you going to fix that? Well, obviously, you want to stay away from antibiotics. It's only going to make it worse. Now, the fibromyalgia complication, like chronic fatigue, stems from the malfunctioning bowel. This is key. They're linked. And there is an overgrowth of the yeast. And this is linked to central nervous system becomes agitated with stress, depression, anxiety, sleep deprivation, and can easily be linked to irritable bowel syndrome, too. So if you're not feeding the body, the cells, with protein, amino acids, then the nerve endings are going to starve, and then the nerve endings in your muscles and your tissue are going to act up, and this is where the pain comes in. So you got to identify the problem. Then you can go about fixing it. So chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, all stem from a sick bowel, overgrowth with yeast, and a little bit of dehydration in there. A healthy bowel is going to have 400 good floras, bacterial floras. Antibiotics strip away all but the yeast and allow it to overgrow. Just taking acidophilus is only one of the floras. One of the probiotics, you know, it's just one. It's not going to restore all that flora that you need. So if the yeast is not addressed, the other floras are going to struggle to return and correct the balance. So you want to beware of internal use of colloidal silver. That's not going to help you. It's going to remove even the yeast. It's going to be non-discriminatory. It's going to take all the bacteria, good flora, and the yeast out of there. And that's not a shortcut to getting rid of the yeast. Please don't do that. That's going to make it really hard to restore the other floras if you did that. And also, don't take DMSO products. Same thing. Problem. Don't do that. So you got to starve the yeast. And this is how you're going to do it. You got a pencil. You got a piece of paper. Write this down. Okay. Big letters. Starve the yeast. Okay, so yeast will live on sugar and anything that converts to sugar. This is why chronic fatigue people are intolerant to alcohol. Alcohol converts to sugar, makes the yeast worse. Okay? Now, to address the imbalance with the yeast, you have to starve it and reduce its dominance if you want to put back the other floras. So you got to come off the carbohydrates, no fruit, and no sugar, anything that converts to sugar. And you can't use artificial sweeteners in the body like, you know what they are. Avoid yeast feeds on sugar as well. You have to just come away from all the breads and all the crackers and all the pastry and all that stuff. You want to avoid also dairy, cow's milk products. That's yogurt, cheese, ice cream, cow's milk, because it's it kind of coats the system with a lot of mucus and it slows everything down. It creates a barrier, and you can't restore your floras very well. So, no dairy. So here's the diet that's going to help restore your floras. And this is the diet my herb professor was using. And this is the diet Dr. John Christopher used in his clinic for 60 years for these things. And what you want to do, you got to stay on this diet until the energy comes back. That's the key, that your floras are coming back. So you want to use brown rice, no white rice. Brown rice is a complex carb, doesn't convert to sugars. Raw vegetables, or you can steam or stir fry them, but try not to steam them to death. Use a little Celtic sea salt. It has it helps with the digestion, and it helps you extract more protein from your vegetables. And then you want to add some fermented foods that will help put the floras back in. So kimchi, sauerkraut. You might want to avoid pickled beets, too much sugar. And then you want to maybe use a little Bragg's apple cider vinegar. It helps with the hydrochloric acid to improve your digestion. You want to drink some water, some herbal teas, all without sweeteners, okay? You can have lemon water. Just squirt some lemon, fresh lemon in your water if you want a little flavor, but not a whole lot, okay? So this is what you're doing. You're starving the yeast, and when your energy level starts to pick up, this is how you know you're putting the floras back in. Oh, I know. People say, well, can't I just layer in some probiotics? Sure, you can. My favorite one is Jarrow, J-A-R-R-O-W, and it's a capsule. It's in the refrigerated section. And what you do is you open it up, and I like to dump it in water, you know, and drink it down, because then it doesn't have to spend time digesting the capsule. It could go right to work. I do the same thing. I'll break it open, and I'll put it on pet food. If a pet's got a little digestive issue, I give it to pets. And how long you got to stay on this? It depends on how bad the chronic fatigue is. So if you've been suffering for years with this, it could take a month or two to correct. But you can't come off this diet. You gotta stick with it. And instead, and don't cheat. You know, give yourself little rewards that are non-dietary, like, you know, something to reward, like a bubble bath or something. But you know, nothing that would make you cheat. So when your energy starts to return, that's the indicator your floras are starting to balance. And the bowel is starting to be able to digest more protein and convert it to amino acids. So once that energy comes back, and by the way, once that comes back, then you see the fibromyalgia go away. Because the nerve endings are getting fed, see, in the blood system. Because you got protein now. You got fuel. So, and, you know, I personally, if it were me and I had this problem, once my energy came back, first thing I'd do is a bowel cleanse. Yep, that's what I would do. Really clean that bowel. And make sure the floras are nice and balanced. You can still use your probiotics, of course. And if you're looking for a really nice, gentle cleanse, won't give you turbo bowel, then call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a bowel cleanse kit. Do that twice a year, you know, because the bowel is the body's most important organ, okay? Yes, it digests food for you. It's a fuel source, but it also takes away debris, toxins. It's a last stop for toxin removal. So it can't get all sluggish. It can't get all plugged up. It can't get sick. So the bowel is really one of the most important organs of the body. Now, you want to hydrate with water, of course. You want to keep, you know, because the bowel uses a lot of water function. And it just astonishes me. The American way is to, you know, first thing in the morning, get up, have coffee or tea. Very dehydrating because of the caffeine. Then you go to work, and you may have another cup of coffee or tea as you get to work. And then at lunch, oh, let's see, we may have iced tea or soda. Again, caffeine. And then we may have another energy drink or a cup of coffee or something in the afternoon to perk you up. And then when you get home for dinner, maybe an adult beverage. So we have all this dehydrating liquid going into the body. Yeah, you're drinking fluids, but they're dehydrating in nature. So people aren't drinking enough water. And the problem with that is you can dull your thirst mechanism. Your thirst mechanism will be off. So if you want to test to see if your thirst mechanism is way off, drink nothing but water for 2 weeks. Yep, nothing but water for 2 weeks. You'll see just how dehydrated you were, because you'll be really thirsty. Yep, you'll be drinking water for sure. But, you know, that's a good thing. Now, also, the folks at Apothecary Herbs, now, if you feel a little stressed out, they offer valerian root that helps take tension out of the nervous system. If you're feeling like you need a little lift but without drinking alcohol, it's going to help you there. Mullein for the glands, because they get swollen and inflamed with these type of conditions, and it soothes glands. You may want to use a few of their immune support herbs as well to keep you from getting sick with something else as you get your strength back. So you got some choices there. You got some herbs that you can use, some tools. And, you know, education is the key. Knowing how to fix it. What you put in the body matters. See? And, you know, it's just terrible, some of the stories that I hear from folks where, you know, at a young age they got put on, you know, antibiotic after antibiotic for, like, let's say, a sinus issue. And years of that, and all of a sudden they wind up with chronic fatigue and then, you know, it's just, or maybe sinus surgery, and I'm thinking, oh my word. Really, the problem with sinus congestion is the mucus. You got to get the mucus out, because it's the immune system's way of encapsulating the pathogen, the infection, so it won't spread. So it's our job to get the mucus out. But when your sinuses get congested, it's like you can't move them. Well, the key is to use herbs that will move this mucus. And you want the herbs that will move mucus and blood. And that's going to be your hot, spicy stuff. And, you know, just get rid of it. So one of their one of my favorite formulas they have at Apothecaribs is the Echinacea Deluxe. It's the sinus formula for upper head. Head cold stuff, sinus, amazing. Take it at the first sign of stuffiness and you can skip all the other stuff. You won't even notice the problem. So we went away from God's medicine and we went to man's scientific medicine. We got away from the historical knowledge that was passed down through millennia and we went this other way and people are suffering. Now I think modern medicine has its point, its place, and that's trauma care. You definitely have to have them for that, right? From time to time you need, you know, to be hooked up to some fluids, an IV drip or some kind, if you get really dehydrated. So that's different than the internal medicine issues that people go to their doctors for and they get put on all these drugs and they just really don't have the resolution that they're looking for. So if don't be spinning your wheels. I mean, if it's not working, quit going there, you know. I once had back pain after the birth of my third child, and I was in herb school at the time, but I went to my general practitioner to complain about this back pain. And all he wanted to do was give me a muscle relaxant and send me over to a physical therapist. And the physical therapist just wanted to put me on an exercise bike and charge me $100 an hour. I'm like, I have a bike in my garage. I can ride that around the block and save the $100. But the, you know, the drugs weren't going to fix the cause of the pain. So in class, mentioned it to the herb professor. Got this back pain. I don't know where it came from, but it just won't go away. So he suggested I had maybe a little leaky gut issue going on, and the toxins were leaking out through the colon tissue and irritating the back muscles. He said, do a colon cleanse. I'll clear that up. So I did my first colon cleanse, and the back pain went away and never came back. I found out a lot about my bowel that year. I didn't eat the right stuff. I was making it sluggish. I was, you know, creating a toxin blockage in there, and this is why, you know, the body was rebelling. See, if your body can't remove toxins the normal route, it's going to find another way to push it out. Here's an example, acne. Acne is really a congested bowel. And, of course, what you're eating is wrong. Sugar, a lot of sugar. Soda, typically. Anyway, I can see by the clock I'm out of time, but call the folks at Apothecaribs, get their free product catalog, see how empowered you're going to be with just a few tools. You'll be amazed. Give them a call at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.
The political, religious, and medical views presented on various shows heard on American Voice Radio Network are not necessarily the views held by the management of American Voice Radio and are not presented as an endorsement by this network. All statements heard on American Voice Radio are the sole responsibility and opinion of those who speak the particular statement.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves?